This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
Pick Six brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. How about Coby White? Repeating as the Eastern Conference Player of the Week for a second week running. He's the first Bull since Michael Jordan to go 2 weeks running. Does that add to his trade value, or do you believe he's a keeper the Bulls should build around? You can't pay everyone, but who should the team be building around?
I really like Coby White, and I really have enjoyed, what is it, his third straight 35-plus game, his fourth straight 30-plus game. I mean, he's, who knows how good he can be. I would keep Coby. I would not trade him, and I would use him as a building block, and I think you have your backcourt right now for next year. And I don't know who your fourth is. I don't know who your fifth is, but I know that you got these two guys, and they gave Lonzo Ball a couple of years, so presumably he'll be back. I don't know that that's the three you want, but I think that that's the three they're definitely going to have. And they need to keep both those guys, and they need to build around that. And Matas is obviously a piece for the future. So they're, all of a sudden, you got three of the five guys you need. And if McQueen falls and you get Moses Malone added in, I'm delighted and I'm really happy about it. So I would not be trading him. I would think his value, you get a lot more for him than you thought. But I think that you run the risk of him developing into something much better than you see here in Chicago. And then what? If you let a guy that good go.
That's a great point. You see him go through that door, and he's not coming back through it. And is what you're getting in return enough? Probably not. Do we know, and again, a good question for 825 with KC, you know, exactly where the Bulls are money-wise? I mean, they should be in okay shape. I mean, they got rid of Max Levine, so they don't have that max contract on their books
anymore. He can get away with that now. You won't interrupt them.
Yeah, David... David can't flip-flap back and forth on that one. First player since Michael Jordan. That's pretty crazy, right? I mean, 2 weeks running, Eastern Conference player. And in all honesty, if he hadn't gotten the award, didn't Josh Giddey make a case?
Yes.
Like, depending on exactly when
I thought
the
it
week,
would be Giddey.
Right? Where your week is. Right. You know, I don't know if it's a, is it a Monday through Sunday? You know, what is the week in the NBA? I mean, Josh Giddey's played unbelievable. So, answering the question, you should be building around Josh Giddey, Kobe White, and Matas Buzelis. And then the rest of them, if you could get rid of them somehow, go ahead.
Not really. Not the get rid part. I think that the Bulls are evolving into this team that if they're looking at it, like AK, I think, is looking at it, they're looking at what's his motto? What did he say? 8 to 10 players. You want to build basically a team full of depth. You don't have a star. Kobe White, as good as he has become, is not that superstar yet. I don't think he's at that level. He's maybe just below it. He's become an elite scorer.
Right. I think he might be an all-star.
He's an all-star, but I don't think he's a superstar. And there's a subtle difference.
Sure there is.
I think that when you have an all-star, then he becomes a foundational piece. And I think you've got Kobe, you've got Matas, you've got Giddey, who you're going to invest in, and you've got your draft pick. There's your core four. There's your core four to build on. Then you add that to the mix. You got Zach Collins. You've got Jalen Smith, who's going to be here because of the contract that he signed last summer. And you've got Patrick Williams because you can't go on without him. You're not going to unload that contract. They're seven. So you look at then who are you going to decide? Io, Lonzo, or Trey Jones? Which one of those two? Two out of those three are probably you're keeping.
I think Trey Jones is better than the other two.
I do too, because of the pace he plays at, and Billy Truss's basketball IQ. So there's like nine. We're talking about then Dalen Terry and Julian Phillips. They're not going to have as active as an offseason as I think that we anticipated a month ago. They got rid of Zach. They're rebuilding the roster. They're going to draft intelligently, you hope. And they're going to get somebody they can help integrate into the mix and be a core player moving forward. So the Bulls went from being somewhat boring running in place to now you start to wonder, what are they capable of doing if they can improve this much, this quickly? Can they ascend next year and take that next step? Keep Kobe White.
Next question, man.
What was your take on the Bulls game overall last night? Were you disappointed? No Joker? Are the Bulls at least fun to watch now? How about Mike Malone calling the Bulls?
Arguably the best running team in the league.
Your takeaways from last night's Bulls?
Love that. Love that, because what it does is it is the ultimate compliment from an NBA champion coach. That's respect. That's credibility that the Bulls didn't have before. What we're seeing is maybe what we should have expected. Billy Donovan does his best work in March. Can we agree on that? Because he did it in Florida. He's doing it in Chicago. And he has done as good of a job with this group. I don't want to exaggerate and say as any coach in the NBA, but it feels like he has done as good of a job as he could have with this group. This is not a group that has a lot of depth. It doesn't have a star. Billy Donovan changed the entire way they played. And they just beat the Lakers and the Nuggets in successive games on their home floors. I know the Lakers were rusty, and I know the Nuggets were without Joker. Big deal. It's the NBA. Teams play impaired every night. The Bulls don't have guys. The Bulls have made trades. They got a bunch of new players. Didn't even mention Kevin Huerter when I'm going through the roster.
Yeah.
He's going to fit in somehow.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that you trust, and he came through again. So what we saw last night was what is making the Bulls fun to watch down the stretch. Team basketball, unselfish, playing just enough defense to be dangerous, and a coach that knows exactly how to get the most out of his roster.
Much more watchable than they were before. Before they traded a certain player that I'll try not to use his name as much as I have in the past. And Thursday night is like a remote control, like, workout. Okay, you got the Sweet 16,
yes.
You got the Bulls, Lakers, you
yes.
got Cubs baseball, and the rest of baseball's opening day.
Wow.
Getting to that later.
Domestic.
But, yes, they are fun to watch. And listen, Joker didn't play, but it's not like he just sat out that game. He's been out for quite a bit lately. So listen, you go out and you beat the team that the other team puts on the court. I'm not gonna give the Bulls like an asterisk because they beat the Nuggets without the Joker.
I think my take on the Bulls game last night and my take on, and I wasn't disappointed, no Joker. I thought it helped the Bulls. They are fun to watch. Mike Malone calling the Bulls the best-ranked team in the NBA is yet another tribute to the phenomenal job that Billy Donovan has done this year. The fact that he has converted that team to a different style of play that has caught the attention of a really good coach and other coaches. They've caught the attention of the league, but it's now forced them. We have to change the way we play because of them being the best running team in the NBA. And he's basically saying, we talked about it before the game, but we didn't have enough to change for their style of play, and they beat us. So I think it's a total feather in the cap type thing. I think it speaks volumes about how they have improved. And they've improved. They have improved since everything's gone awry. And you really thought they could have gone the other way. And maybe that was a planned idea. But, man, they've gotten better.
You thought when they traded Zach they were going the other way.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But they got too much back, and they're too good. They got too many decent players to just be successful.
Don't you remember that window of time of a couple of days where we thought that they were going to waive Kevin Herter? Trey Jones might not even get here. And Zach Collins, who was he? So now,
different feeling altogether.
Yeah.
That's another really good question.
Where are you at with word from manager Will Venable that Chase Meidroth will open the season at AAA Charlotte? What does that mean other than he can work on a double play with Colson Montgomery?
I don't get it. I understand you don't move guys before their time, but by all accounts, this is a guy who hasn't been hitting the ball great, but he's the kind of guy that he's a hitter. He sprays the ball all over the place. He's the kind of guy that I thought he was going to start at shortstop, to be honest with you, because I think with Montgomery not making the cut, and it was really related to him having injury, but he didn't do enough to make the team. That is the sad reality of where the White Sox are at. I think he comes up this year, and I think this guy comes up this year. It's really strange to me how bad they project to be, and I wonder what they're doing. I do not understand what their infield will look like now. They got some injuries. They got some things they're working through. They're still hunting for players. Bruce told us that yesterday. There are guys that aren't even on their roster that could wind up starting for them. That's what they're doing. We can't name a starting lineup, and they open the season on Thursday. Okay, it's Tuesday. Like, that is in close proximity, and you would think they'd be farther along, but they're not.
And they don't want Nicky Lopez back.
They've already said that.
No, they're moving on.
Right, I'm just moving on. So that's not somebody that could be part of that mix that we don't even know exists. And how would the double play work? I mean, is one of them playing second base down in the minors?
I think Meidroth.
Meidroth is a second baseman.
Yes.
I thought it was more of a shortstop.
Well,
he was a second baseman.
Thus the conundrum.
Was forced to play short.
Well, it shows how I was confused. And now, Lenin Sosa is your opening day second baseman,
yes.
It looks like, right?
Yes,
according to Merck.
That yes.
That's
yep.
what it's looking like. Very confusing. I'm going to be, quote, a famous former White Sox employee and stay out of White Sox business.
Well, here's White Sox business. Lenin Sosa at second. It looks like Josh Rojas at short.
Is he healthy?
Miguel Vargas at third. Maybe not. If it's not, it's Jacob Amaya. One of those two probably. And it doesn't really matter.
Jacob Amaya really shouldn't
doesn't
be
doesn't really
the team.
Matter. Here's what I don't understand. And I'm flummoxed as well. They came into the spring, and Colson Montgomery was said to be the guy who is at shortstop, his job to lose. You know what he did? He lost it.
Yeah.
He got injured, and then he wasn't good. Here's Chase Meidroth steps in, who was a second baseman. He can play short, so they said. He was a sneaky good piece in that Groshay deal, and you know what they said about him? It was his job to lose. And you know what he did? He lost it. So we now have two of the White Sox top prospects who were given the chance to win the shortstop job. Neither one sees the opportunity. I don't know how you feel good about your player development if that is indeed the case. And if it isn't the case, why were we so excited at the beginning of spring training? Maybe Colson Montgomery is going to be fine. I don't think it's going to be a shortstop. I'm coming around to that idea. If it is, I don't know that he can stay healthy because he didn't in spring training. Meidroth, I thought a week ago he was going to start opening day. I don't know what to make of this plan, and I don't want to overreact because it's going to be a season full of developmental ups and downs. This is a down. When you're 0 for 2 with your shortstops of the future or your infielders of the future, I don't think things are going particularly well. So it's going to be a rather anonymous infield. It's going to be a revolving door on the roster. Did you see that the Mariners, did they release Mitch Haniger? Is that a guy that you would be on your list because he's got some
I'm confused
history?
By that, David, because they released Brandon Drury because he's got an injury, even though he did very well and made the team. So now, are they going with older players?
I've been told the spring went well for the White Sox.
Yeah, they don't want to go with the young guys.
I'd like details.
I don't understand. We need help.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a hard question to answer.
In Monday's Cubs-Braves game, Ian Happ started at center field, Gage Workman in left field. Does that illustrate how versatile the Cubs are or how little outfield depth they actually have? And who's going to be the odd man out on the 26-man roster?
Well, Ian Happ in center field just tells you that Pete Crow Armstrong can't get hurt. And he can't struggle. And he can't slump. And he can't do a lot of things that guys entering their second full season at the majors typically are prone to do.
He's a huge piece of this.
He may be as important as anybody in that lineup because of the lack of depth behind him and what his stunted growth means to the overall picture. PCA has got to be on, and he's got to be on immediately. You can't flip a switch in June. He's got to start. He's got to start and come in hot. So Ian Happ reminded you of that on Monday by playing center field. And Gage Workman playing left tells you that they're trying to get every way possible to keep him on the roster to have him play as many different positions.
That's it.
Left-handed power bats aren't easy to find. Guys who hit for average aren't either. You've got to keep Gage Workman on your roster, Chicago Cubs. Brujan, I know you traded Never Nervous Mervis for him, but it doesn't really matter now. Matt Mervis has made the Marlins. Brujan, if he's the odd man out, I'm not going to lament it the way that I would if they don't have Gage Workman on the roster and they send him back to Detroit. That would be a mistake. Don't make that mistake.
If he's the odd man out, then he starts for the White Sox.
Vidal Brujan, I don't understand. Again, another guy. Did he pinch run in Japan? Maybe
I blocked that out of my memory.
Gage Workman didn't do anything other than maybe order Domino's pizza. Supposedly somebody ordered Domino's pizza from the Cubs, something we should get into later when they were in Japan. They couldn't take any more Japanese food. They had to have a little taste of home.
I can relate to that, but let's talk about that later.
A little ranch on that pizza, David. Gage Workman should be on the team. You make a great point about PCA. Like, he can't struggle, but worst case, I mean, you could Ian Happ can't play center field, so somebody else can play left. I mean, you can kind of supposedly hide Major League Baseball player in left field. Look at what the White Sox do with their left fielders. So again, if Gage Workman's not on this team and Vidal Brujan is, I would be very disappointed.
I think you're exactly right. I think that they're trying everything with Gage Workman. He's played all over the place. And it's because they want to keep his bat. He's a lefty power bat. He's had a great training camp. And obviously, as a Rule 5 guy, you can't send him to the minor leagues. So they got little choice there. And you're right. They have a roster decision to make between those guys. I think, to me, this is just an example of trying to convince themselves that Gage Workman can do everything at all positions. That's why you work them out there and you try it there. I really think PCA is one of the most important pieces on the team because, as we have talked about repeatedly, if he can continue to wreak havoc on the bases, he's your leadoff guy. He's got that profile.
Eventually, yes.
He fits into it. So if that eventually happens, it means he's having a hell of a year, and that would be a fun thing to see, because whenever that guy's on the bases, look out. It just if you're a pitcher, that would make you very nervous. And again, if you're hitting behind him, that would make you really a good RBI guy. I think his speed and his ability on the base paths they need to take advantage of. So, yeah, you need, that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have players that are so much better than everyone else that you need them on your team. And he's got that potential. And I don't think it's a question of how you get by without him. I think it's more a question of how good can he be and how much can he help you and can he move up in the order, etc. But these are fun things to think about. No one cares about the end of the roster until you are stuck without somebody.
Until you need them. That's
exactly right. So it's important stuff.
Wow. It's a scary good question, right?
We'll talk to Bruce at 9 of the Cubs' next 24-21 against bona fide playoff contenders, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the Rangers, and the Phillies. They're 0-2 are the Cubs. Is there a realistic record they have to be after the next 24 to make playoffs a realistic pursuit?
It is a difficult schedule to open the season. And I think that even if they fall into a bigger hole than 0-2, they're going to be okay because they will come out of it. It's just the beginning of the season. But you can lose confidence if things don't go your way. I would hope that they can split that at bare minimum. You know, you hope they do better. The idea is to stack series wins together. So starting on Thursday, get the series win and then come back and get another one. That is the point, the object of the season. But I don't, unless they really fall into a hole, I don't think there's going to be a problem with the overall roster. I think they're gonna figure out a way to play their best, and I think we're gonna get good contributions from a lot of people. I think they're a good team.
No worse than two games under 500. They've got to be 500 or worst case scenario, two games under 500. One bit of good news, and maybe you guys saw this. I did not see it a lot happening over the weekend, but. The Diamondbacks announced that Corbin Burns.
They're going to miss him. Yeah, they're going
to
skip him.
You need to win. You got to win the game that Corbin Burns was supposed to pitch against you.
That's right? The good news, Dustin. The bad news is the Diamondbacks are loaded with that rotation.
Great, great pitching.
Zach Gallen is among the best in
Not
the National League,
hitting,
too.
Not great hitting, but great pitching.
Great pitching. Great. They are great hitting. I think they had the highest. They scored more runs than anybody in baseball last year, I believe. Need to check that out. Let's do some fact checking. Diamondbacks are for real. Cubs, there. You said that can't be worse than two games below 500. You mean the way they are now? They're 0-2.
They're in the worst case scenario.
This is a gauntlet of a schedule.
This is and the skipper doesn't want to hear it. Either.
The manager doesn't want to hear it. The manager doesn't want to talk about the tough schedule.
We should revisit that audio.
Or jet lag. Talk about neither. Speak neither one into existence. If you're the Cubs and you're looking at the schedule, 24 games, 21 against playoff contenders, you've got to go 13-11. You've got to. You can't finish that first 24 games of the season, and so your first 26 games, and be worse than 13-13. If you are, you can adjust and recover.
Yes.
As Stoney likes to say, you can't win a pennant or a division in April, but you can lose it.
Yeah.
You can lose it, and you don't want to see the Cubs end up start 10-16. That would not be good or acceptable. That would create a little bit of panic and unrest. Starting here, I don't think it would be very fun to come in if they're 10-16. So I think you got to go 13-11 over those 24 games against a very good schedule, and I think the Cubs have the roster to do that.
It's a good question.
Over the weekend, Bears free agent tight end Mercedes Lewis expressed confidence in Caleb Williams and left the door open for a 20th NFL season.
You know, when you have a guy like Caleb and the ability that he has to get that ball out of his hand and throw off platform and make hard stuff look very easy. And if you're doing it in college and you've been able to get away with it in college, obviously the natural progression when you come into the league, you're going to try to do some of those things.
Are you going to play again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Should the Bears be interested?
No. They shouldn't. No. Mercedes Lewis is a fine example of perseverance and fitness and an ode to athleticism, because if you are a guy that can last 20 years in the National Football League, you are a specimen. You are the rarest of athletes. Congratulations. Here's a gold watch. Thanks for the memories. I don't think you want him back. I don't think you can waste the roster spot, and I think it would be. Mercedes Lewis turns 41 years old in May. You know who turns 39 in May? Ben Johnson. He's older than the coach. I don't think you want him back. I know he's a leader. He also was part of that leadership council that maybe was a little bit part of the problem and not the solution early in the year when they were calling out Shane Waldron. And I know it worked out well because Shane Waldron needed to be called out. But I just don't know if you want to bring him back. Aren't you starting over with Ben Johnson? Isn't this a new day at Halas Hall? I respect everything he's accomplished. If they want to hire him into the front office or add him to the community relations staff, terrific. He could be your ambassador. Chicago Bears ambassador, Mercedes Lewis. But a guy that had two targets and played in four games or played in 17 games and had four targets last year is not worth keeping, and I just don't think he's part of the offense, and I don't think he should be.
He had more penalties than targets, which also means he had more penalties than catches. He was brought in to try to help block. How bad was the Bears blocking? Absolutely 100% no.
They love this guy, and it is confounding.
They do.
But they love like an old tight end. They really – who was the guy that was before him? I mean,
Ditka?
No, they love old tight ends, I'm saying.
I know.
Who flew the helicopter?
Oh, Jimmy Graham.
I'm just saying. I mean, how many
Robert Tunyon.
How many of those guys do you need? I mean, God bless them. I'm not picking on him.
Jimmy Graham has probably caught how many hundred passes in the NFL? And to you, he will always be the guy who flew the helicopter.
At least he caught some balls. I mean, Mercedes Lewis didn't catch any balls.
Didn't I clarify it enough that you named him?
Yes, you did.
So, okay,
to me too, I guess.
To you too. Listen, get another offensive lineman. Keep drafting offensive linemen. Get stronger on the offensive line. You won't need a blocking tight end. That's all. He's a blocking tight end.
Jimmy Graham, 719 catches, 8,545 yards. And Moley's guy, he's just a pilot to you. He's a helicopter pilot.
Hey, with due respect, that's what he was when he got here.
That's true. That's true.
Okay?
Yes.
That was the most unique and interesting thing about him when he came to Chicago.
I think you're right.
I think get a tight end.
That's what you want to avoid. A guy who is a threat to do something when he's in the game. When Mercedes Lewis is in the game, you know he's staying in or they're running the ball.
He's not a guy you have to cover. You'd like to have a tight end they have to cover? You like your tight ends to be able to block and catch?
Draft a guy half his age, you'd be better off.
Get a younger version.
Yeah.
If he means that much.
Yeah, get somebody in his 30s.
Yeah, get someone younger than the coach. All right, we've got the extra point next. 312-644-67. We're going to get to your call soon, but I know a lot of people are getting anxious. We got the extra point next. Mullion Hall on the Score.